Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of the Bid Nerd, your daily nerd on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick in Las Vegas, along with my partner Michael Deeb in San Francisco. What up?
What's up, dude? Hey man, nice lid.
Where'd you get that lid?
Where'd you get that lid, bro? Does it have your name on the back? Turn the other way. Can I see your?
Does it say producer? I think it just.
Does it say PJ or JP?
It didn't say anything on the back? I don't even know. I guess maybe
I
didn't get my name on it like our good friends. Ross Churchhouse, longtime fan of the show, or one of the original Nerd Herd, as well as Anthony. He got this hat for his Yahtzee that he got playing along with us. For those of you who are new to the channel, welcome. What we mean by Yahtzee, what we do on this show is not only we talk about the most interesting car of the day from all the different auction sites, but we make a prediction as what we think is going to happen with that car's auction, and then we reconcile our predictions with what actually happens. We have a future machine, we have a time machine in the studio, we go to the future, so we make a prediction, then we go to the future and we talk about how wrong we were, and you can play along. It's just like The Price is Right, only with really interesting, cool cars from the auction site. So thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, it's like The Price is Right with no washers and dryers.
Mm-hmm. Or Rice-A-Roni.
No jet skis.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's probably Rice-A-Roni. You are in San Francisco. I think that you're sitting on like a crate of Rice-A-Roni, right?
Absolutely. We're going to stitch somebody's name into the next Yahtzee. You get a thing of Rice-A-Roni.
Nice, we're doing it. All right, well, big shout out to our good friends at Godden Classic. Godden Porsche of Las Vegas sponsors the show, and we love those guys because they know Porsches, man. We are Porsche guys. We don't always talk about Porsches on the show. This is not an exclusively Porsche show, although sometimes
we do this week.
Yeah.
This week are huge.
Is this all Porsche week? Okay, yeah. So,
almost, yeah.
But yeah, check those guys out. If you want to avoid all the auction hassle, just go check out our friends at Godden Classic. They always have really cool cars, but they also have the parts and service and all that good stuff. There it is. Shall we begin? Michael Deeb, auction specialist.
Speaking of Porsches, yeah, Arthur, our nerd herd, Arthur has spoken. He reached out to us directly to suggest that right now on Bring a Trailer is what they are marketing as a one-of-one 2005 Porsche. That's a 996 generation GT3 with just 20,000 miles. So, Arthur, thank you for pointing this car out, and we will take a look at it. Arthur told us that this car had traded hands on Switch a while back, and that he had noticed that this very same car had come up on the auction platform and that we should take a look at it. So out of Killingworth, Connecticut, is this 20,000-mile example. And it's worth noting, JP, for a long time, I thought they only made the 996 GT3 in 2004, but they actually made just under 300 of them the following year in 2005. So when you read several times during this listing that it is a one-of-one in this color with that interior, it's also worth noting that it's a one-of-one of just 300 because it's a one-of-one in that model year. In 2004, they made probably 1,000 of these things. So there might be another Atlas gray with natural brown leather in 2004. But in 2005, allegedly, this is the only one. It's an attractive colorway. But what's interesting to me, when you look at like this dark gray with the leather interior, sort of this like baseball glove leather interior, the car winds up looking more like an upscale luxury GT car rather than, a grand touring car, rather than the track car that this thing is. You know, when I think GT3, first of all, I think white or bright green or bright orange or something like that. But to see this car in the gray with the brown leather, it looks more like a luxury car or something more Italian. But it's a beautiful, clean example. It's unique in its colorway with the leather and the stuff. This car is also equipped with the PCCBs, which back then I think were like $8,000 and the most expensive option you could get on a GT3. I don't know if I could say with any kind of confidence or any way to quantify it that these 996s, the GT3s, fewer of them came with the ceramic brakes than the steel. Most of them are steel. But I don't know that the ceramic brakes in the secondary mark help your car bring a premium. But I know that even though these early examples, were really sort of that first generation of car. This is one of the first cars, I think, in the world that had PCCBs as an option for the road. I'd still rather have mine with them, you know, like I think they'd be great. The way I like to drive, I think the PCCBs would come in handy. So I think that's really cool. It's also got the thicker steering wheel JP, and it looks to be a nice example. So before I hand it over to you, actually, I'll wait till we talk about the money. I want to get your impressions on the car. Most of these cars came with black. I will tell you this, the brown leather is way rarer than the PCCBs, and I would say only 15 or 20% of the cars came with PCCBs. I'd say less than 5% of the cars came with brown leather. Our friend Paul Kramer, who runs the auto kennel in Costa Mesa and shows up on every rally under the sun, maybe he's Solomon Braun's twin brother separated at birth. You heard it here first. But he has a 996 GT3 in white with this brown leather interior. I think it's cool. I think it's unique. But I don't think it's for me. Go ahead and make mine black and ordinary. I'd like the color of the seats if it was just the seats. But when you do the dash and the steering wheel and the carpets and the door cards and all that, John, you lose me. It winds up being like you're in the, you know, I keep going back to like the Pinocchio cartoon where you're in the belly of the whale and everything's monochromatic in there. This just doesn't do it for me. So I send it to you, John. I'm not a fan of the interior. I like the idea that it's one of one, but I'd probably pass this car over because I dislike that dash and the steering wheel so much. I have a one-year-old and it reminds me of some things I've changed out of the diaper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that color is tough to love. A sea of beige, as I like to say. Look, here's the thing. Yeah. GT3s, this could be one of the best driving Porsches of all time. A lot of people kind people of like the 996 better than the 7 or the newer ones. But how hard was this car to sell in 2005, right? I mean, it's one thing in 2004, the 996 was kind of at the top. That was the end of kind of the 996 run. You know, everyone, they had fixed a lot of the ugly problems with the fried egg headlight. They updated a bunch of things. And this car was just so much better. But the GT3 badge was just not something that really meant a lot to many people yet. It wasn't until the 997 GT3 that really made GT3 mean anything to anyone other than someone who knew something about GT3 racing. So, you know, you got to think about in 2005 was the launch of the 997 that completely eclipsed the 996. It was like 996, who, what the hell is a nine? No, like people just, the second that the photo of a 997 came out, it was like, the 996 may as well have been something from Toyota. I mean, just who gives a shit? Anybody that was interested in Porsche wanted a 997. That thing was such a hit. It was such a beautiful car. It looked so much better than the 996. All the things that people hated about 996s were corrected in the 997. So, you know, and on top of that, a 997 that you could get at the same time on the same showroom floor right next to this car was a 997, you know, C2S, right? You could get with a 3.8 liter engine, and that car drives amazing. And some of the early ones even had the GT3 body kits on them before the GT3 actually came out. So it had the GT3 aero of the GT3, and then the actual GT3s came out later. So I just think that this car just had that. I mean, yeah, they didn't make a whole lot of them because who the hell wanted a freaking 996 in 2005?
Well, listen, I'm going to say just like, and this is me really trying to read the tea leaves here. Like I haven't read a book on any of this or anything, but I'm guessing that Porsche's initial estimation of the market was pretty modest. Yeah. And I'm guessing they were thinking, you know, if we could get maybe 1,000 cars on the road, we'll have done really well. They wound up making like 1,300 of these things and about 296
1,300 of them in total between
world,
the 2 years?
Worldwide, yeah.
Or for two... Hold on. For the 2 years or just correct. For 2005?
For the 2 years. The entire run of 996 GT3s is about 1,300 cars.
Got it.
That took 2 years to build them and deliver them. And I'm guessing the original mark was probably about 1,000. And what was happening was while they were building these cars and they were starting to hit the road and the reviews were coming in on how incredible the performance was, people were probably still walking to the dealerships that were VIPs and trying to plunk down checks to get cars made. And so to continue to deliver on all the deposits they took, the production rolled over into the following year. And I'm guessing most of those 296 that were made in 2005 were just Porsche trying to fill deliveries. And they're like, hey, we're making an extra, you know, we've got another 300 deposits here. And Porsche, somebody just said, keep making them. Just keep all those people happy. This has been a great exercise for us. And that's, yeah. And I'm guessing that's what happened. So to go back to your story and just play a little devil's advocate and have fun with you, this car was never parked on the showroom floor next to the 05 because this car was ordered by a guy who probably put his money down 8 months earlier and waited and couldn't wait for this car to come in and was so excited to get it. And this car was clearly custom tailored with the baseball glove leather and the gray paint and all this other nonsense that he didn't care about the base 05 that was 997 that was sitting on the showroom floor when he went to pick this one up in the delivery bay. He was still probably pretty excited.
He probably had never seen one when he ordered this
thing. Good point.
You know, I think going with what you're saying, all these cars were ordered in 2004. They didn't know what the 997 looked like yet.
Yeah, that's true.
If they had, you know, which is why there weren't 1,000 of these ordered and there was only a few hundred, you know, so it was like, oh, wait, what? That's coming out? Yeah, cancel the 996 GT3 thing.
I remember when everybody was so shocked to see that Porsche went back to the old headlights.
Yeah, the round headlight. It was like, duh. Yeah,
that they had to concede that they had made an error because aesthetically nobody liked them.
Isn't it a lot like how the GT3s didn't come with, like the 991 GT3s, the first generation, didn't come with manuals? And they've been Porsche's like, all right, fine, we'll put six speeds in the dot twos. It's like, duh, guys, listen, it's not that hard.
Well, they tested the market by making the R, and the R sold out in minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
didn't even need to make the R to test the market. Everyone was screaming about it the second they announced that they weren't going to have it. And, you know, just German hubris. These guys, it's better. Yeah. So we're going to make it, and it's going to be better. They're all going to love it. It's like, no. It's not the case. Yeah. I remember going to the Porsche dealerships when the 997s came out with the PDK, and they're all like, oh, yeah, you got to – or not the 997s, but the – well, yeah, I guess the 997s. Yeah. You got to try it. So much better. And I'm just like, yeah, guy, it's better, but I still want a third pedal, dude. Anyways, we're getting off subject.
But it's relevant. It's absolutely relevant. I mean, it really is. And so for Porsche to concede that they had made an error, the 997 was, I mean, you wouldn't even call it a revolution. It was just they went backwards and said, hey, let's make this car look more like a damn 993 or 964, and it'll sell even better. And it did. The trouble is, while they spent all the money on the styling, they didn't fix the damn bearing that plagued the cars in the 996 generation.
Right.
That was, I think, their grave error there.
Well, and then the other thing, too, is that you look at, like, the 996 first generation and then the dot ones and dot twos. You know, the dot ones look just like the Boxster. They had the same fried egg. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll update it on the dot twos and we'll give it a little bit different look.
Clear.
It's like they can't hear. It's like I get it that you guys don't speak English, but people weren't going, oh, this sucks because it looks like a Boxster. That was a problem, but the problem was that the headlight wasn't round. So like, well, they didn't like this shape, so let's try this weird freaking shape. It's better. It looks, you know, I don't hate it, but it's still, I mean, could you imagine if someone just said, hey, you know, Franz, check this out. I got an idea. It's like, have you seen the Hudsucker Proxy? You remember that movie, The Hudsucker Proxy?
I don't remember this. Yeah,
Tim Robbins. He invented the hula hoop, and then he invented everything. What was the other thing that was round? It was the frisbee, and then it was his design was the same exact design every time. It was a circle. Yeah. The headlight designer could have been a hero. It's like, this year's design is a circle. And then the next year's design, hey, guys, oh, yeah, I'm a genius. Oh, look, it's a circle. He's brilliant. Yeah. You know, it's like.
JP, show everybody your hat again.
A lot of people
don't realize that John got the BitNerds logo from the 997 headlight.
I did. I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's a really important design.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. It was inspired by the G-body 911 headlight, the H4s. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Jeez, these guys, for being so smart, they're so dumb sometimes. How many more 996s dot twos would they have sold if they had just made the damn headlight round and not been...
Yep.
Anyways, okay, so, but this car, Metzger engine, lots of great things to love about this car, and again, one of the best driving cars in the world.
So, John, let's talk about the money. Our car closes in 2 days, and I forget if I was so quick to get to the car because it was such a... Yeah, Killingworth Killingworth, Connecticut, 20,000 miles. The car is at $103,000 and it closes in 2 days. JP, I was looking it up because Arthur had said that it had traded hands previously. And one of the first things that came up on my search was a YouTube video that was published a month ago saying one of one, 2005 996 GT3 Atlas Gray, $150,000. So the seller, the consigner of this car, was trying to get 150 grand a month ago and now has put it on the auction site. I wonder if that's going to help or hurt this auction, that it was that easy for me to find. It's the top of my search when I looked at one of one Atlas Gray 996 GT3. So, and that I just seen now, it will not influence my bid. I'm going to tell you, at 103 grand with 2 days to go, I think this car, John, because if this car had 2,000 miles, I think this car would bring 160 grand. But because it's got 20,000 miles, it's not a I don't think it's a the colorway enough is not collector enough to me to warrant it having 20,000 miles. So I just don't think it's a collector. I just think it's a used GT3. I don't think it's a special collector example, despite the whole one-of-one marketing they're going, because it's got the damn natural brown leather interior. So I'm going to go 140 grand and say if it had 2,000 miles and that interior, this car could break the bank at 160, 170. But you put 20,000 miles on it, you drove it. You drove the collectability off of this car. And at this point, I think you're just trying to find somebody that wants the leather, not somebody that has to have it because it's rare, because it's not rare enough with the mileage. It's not a very good explanation, but that's what I'm trying to say.
Do the seats match? Yes. Is that Atlas gray? I mean, yeah. That just looks blue. That looks cobalt blue to me. I know, I'm sure it is, but
painted,
I just don't.
Painted hardback seats is the option. Painted hardback seats.
Yeah, but are they painted the same
usually,
color? I mean,
it's
usually.
Supposed to match the outfit. And yeah, then you've got match the gauges are blue too. Did you see that?
I missed that.
If we can find the dash, they're blue dials, which I can't remember seeing blue dials on a GT3. But the whole, it's all supposed to be cohesive with the seatbelts and the gauges and the whole.
It's really hard. These pictures are too dark too. I mean, they're terrible.
Terrible.
Photos.
Look at
that. So the exterior photos are pretty good, but these in, I mean, that's just like, guys, terrible. What are you doing? Raise the I mean, f-stop. Have you ever heard of it? Use it. These guys are supposedly photographers. Yeah, that's so much freaking beige. If the dashboard and the carpets and the A-pillars were black, it would look so much better. But instead, it just accentuates everything that's wrong with it.
Anybody in the nerd herd gets a Yahtzee on this car, we're going to send you a jar of peanut butter to go with the natural brown interior.
Okay, so your number, what was your number?
140, JP. 140. I think this car is going to sell for $140,000. I think it sells at that number. He's trying to get 150, which means that was his asking price. So he's already thinking it's worth in the 140s. My number is going to hold water compared to what I found on the internet. So 140.
I think this colorway with the blue seatbelts and the beige dash, I think it's going to stall out. I think this is a 125.
Does it sell? Does it sell at your number? Because that's a fair bid.
That's a good question. Yeah. I'm going to say,
you know, he's asking 150 a month ago.
I would be willing to bet, if there were a way to get in the system, I'd be willing to bet that his reserve is higher than that, but maybe he has a come to Jesus. I sure would be interested to see how much it sold on Switch or whatever that plot. I don't know what Switch is. So that's kind of interesting. You know, what did it sell for before, and what is this guy trying to get? Is it a flip, or is it just someone trying to let it go?
I used to believe in the BAT reserve in that we never, like, if a car sold, you know, a number was good and a car sold, but then, like, if a car didn't sell, the number that it didn't sell at was so low, and you're like, well, it didn't meet reserve, it was so obvious. Now I'm not sure about it. Like, you know, like, it's just interesting. The BAT reserve, I think, is it's drank the Kool-Aid from last year's market, and I don't think that the reserves have caught up with the contemporary market. So it's entirely possible this guy could have $125,000 reserve, but I'm telling you, if I was in charge, this car wouldn't get $125,000 reserve.
You wouldn't even give it $125,000 reserve?
No.
Okay. All right. No. Yeah, that's the question.
Because I want the car to sell.
Yeah.
And I think this car could stall out at $125,000. And so if you're right, that car should sell for that number. That's how good I think your bid is. And so I think the reserve on this car should be 110, 115.
Well, I mean, it's already at 105 and it still has a couple of days to go. And we typically right. see on and Porsches make a reserve 30%.
And sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole point of the reserve, you know? Yeah. So.
All right. Well, what do you guys think? Now's the time to put your bid in below. Plug it in. It's like the Price is Right. Let's see if you're any good at this. See if you're as good as Anthony, who gets Yahtzees or close to Yahtzees.
Free hat.
Yeah.
I want a hat. He's so good.
Ross Churchhouse is doing pretty good. 5150. All the Michaels. A lot of, you know, Arthur, who gave us this car. Arthur, we don't know what your handle is. Yeah, put your bid in, number one, and let us know what your handle is on YouTube so we can reconcile the two, because I don't know. I can't put those two together. By the way, Nerd Herd, you guys are awesome. We're like literally a few dozen subscribers away from 1,000 at this point. Yeah. Maybe by the time this airs, we will be there. We're super excited. Yeah, we can name the studio and we'll start doing live shows. So we're up on the swag. So let's make it happen. All right, let's go to the future and find out what happens with this GT3. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. Hey everybody, welcome to the future. Thanks for hanging around, sticking around to find out what happened with this GT3. I'm pretty stoked about it. I kind of want this car. I think I want this car. Michael Deeb, I'm a little upset that it's not in my garage. I guess I'm spoiling it. I didn't win the bid.
Yeah, you're entirely too late, JP. This is going to be one of those I told you so moments. Mm. JP, you are super bearish on this car. Is that right? Bear? Yeah. The 2005, they didn't make that many in 05. This one had that incredible natural brown leather. You and I don't like the dash, but the seats are kind of cool. I went big on this car at $140,000. JP, I'm not saying you poo-pooed it, but you were way more pragmatic at $125,000. Our car sold for $137,000 on a whopping 20 bids. So maybe not a ton of action, but that number I think is a pretty decent retail number for the car, considering it has 20,000 miles on it, not 2,000 miles. So JP, I kind of told you so. There you go. The brown and the 05, I thought, made it slightly attractive to sort of the collector base. I do think if this car had only like 2,000 miles on it, it would have brought a stupid number, because then you're talking low by the numbers and in collector condition. This car is still drivable. I don't think you're going to kill the value on it if you put a few miles on it. So, there's a lot to like here if you like being different. That interior isn't for me like it would be for, say, Paul Kramer, who has a GT3 with that interior. But, John, what do you think of that result? Are you surprised you missed it by, a little bit bigger margin?
Yeah, I guess I did. I don't know. I'm anytime a water pumper comes on, I'm still always just a little bit like, oh, I'm not sure if it's going to get there. 996. Look, this car's great. We talked about the issues before the break. I think I was just wrong. It didn't look like it was getting a lot of action when we were looking at it before too. So I don't know. All I know is that I want one of these. I want a 996 GT3, especially now that it's a gajillion degrees here in Las Vegas. And, both my air-cooled cars are kind of undrivable at this point. Even the 964 with working air condition doesn't really hold up to 115, having a water pumper Porsche in the garage definitely makes the sense, because if for nothing else, the AC is going to work really well on this car. But you got to watch out. Coolant tanks and water pumps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, pin the lines.
Yeah, pin those lines. My water pump gave out on my Macan this week.
No!
So, yeah, I'm driving along and all of a sudden I get the thing that says, stop driving, pull over. I'm like, oh, shucks. Water's just everywhere. So it's like, great. Got to go get that dealt with. So have fun with water pumpers. Yeah, all cars, whatever. I'm just going to get a Lexus. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to an SC, 300 or whatever, the most basic Lexus of all time. It's basically a Camry with some power windows and stuff. I'm just going to get one of those, and just that's the last car I'm ever going to get. I'm over this Porsche stuff. What do you guys think of the results of this GT3? Was that well bought? I know I'm just a big old idiot, so tell me in the comments below, and we will see you guys tomorrow on Bid Nerds or something.